The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, shine your light on us and in us and through us, that we would grow in Jesus and share him with others. Amen. Well, we're in a series called Living in the Light of Jesus, and today's theme is Rise and Shine, Rise and Shine. If you've ever had young children, you would know that they often get up early in the morning, yes? And often that early in the morning, they actually wake up their parents. However, as the kids get older and they start to go out a bit and have some late nights, well, from time to time, the parents have to wake the children. It's not revenge. That's just the way it is. I can't remember my mum ever waking me as a child, but in my teenage years, my dad, who was a late riser, if he got up and I was still in bed, he would come into my bedroom door, and then my bed was right in front of the door, and he would grab my big toe and yank it. It was a terrible way to be woken up, a terrible way to start the night. I just absolutely hated it. I invite you to share with the person around you or near you, how did your parents ever wake you up from your slumber in the morning? What did they say? What did they do? And was that a positive or a negative experience? Have a couple of minutes and have some conversations with the people around you. It's funny that first service, they all got on a bit of a momentum with that one as well. So if you're having a great conversation, pick it up later. But I want to ask the question, were any of you ever greeted with the words, rise and shine? Anyone?
Your country needs you.
Yes? Rise and shine, your country needs you. Wow. Pastor Reed says that his parents used to wake him up like that, and no one else in the room of first service put up their hand. And I said, well, Americans are probably a bit more righteous than what we Aussies are. I think rise and shine. I think parents are very, very distressed when their children are not able to rise and shine, particularly if they are ill. From our first reading, I wonder how many times Jairus had gone in to wake up his daughter, and she was not able to rise because day after day after day, she grew worse with her illness until she was dying. Some of you parents may know how that feels. And I think every parent would do whatever they could, even give up their life for a dying child, no matter what age that child is, if that would help. Jesus had moved from Nazareth to Capernaum. That was his base. And people around town had seen and heard the things that Jesus could do. Well, Jesus went across the lake for a brief visit and had come back into town. And when Jairus hears about it, Jairus makes a beeline to Jesus and finds Jesus and falls on his feet before Jesus, says, Jesus, come quickly, please. Come quickly and heal my daughter, she's dying. He's a synagogue ruler. He's a someone in the eyes of the community, but he's so desperate, he will do anything for the sake of his daughter. His only daughter, a 12-year-old. Jesus goes off with Jairus and they make their way through a growing crowd. But then there's this massive long interruption where a woman sneaks up to Jesus. She's got a long-term medical condition. And you remember, she touches the hem of his cloak and is healed. And Jesus goes, oh, someone's touched me. I sense that power has gone out of me. Who was it? And eventually this woman comes sheepishly out of the crowd, falls at his feet and tells the story. And can you imagine what's going through the mind of Jairus while all this is taking time? Come on, come on. We need to get to my daughter. Eventually, Jesus sends the woman on her way in peace. And at the same time, someone comes from his household and tells Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. A parent's worst nightmare, yes? How would you be feeling if you were in Jairus' sandals? Crushed, devastated, broken, like someone had come and snuffed out the light of your life. And I wonder what was going through his mind. Oh, if only we had got to Jesus before he went across to the other side of the lake, we might have been in time. If only there wasn't this big crowd. If only this woman didn't take up so much of Jesus' time. If only. Friends, nothing of the if onlys can change what is, yeah? Only the great I am can change what is. It's very interesting how Jesus responds to that news. Jesus says to Jairus, oh, don't be afraid. Just believe and your daughter will be healed. In other words, hey Jairus, I've got this covered. It's going to be all right. At that point, Jairus could have got wild with grief and rage and says, oh, you're too late, Jesus. I'll see you later. That would be understandable, yes? But no, he takes Jesus at his word and off they go. When they reach the house of Jairus, the place is full of wailers, people wailing. Ah, ah, ah. That's how it is in wailing. And grieving and lamenting. And Jesus says, stop wailing. She's not dead. She's just asleep. And what did the people do? They laughed at Jesus. Oh, ha, ha, you, Jesus, you're a bit cuckoo. And then Jesus goes in and, like a parent waking a child, takes her by the hand and says, my girl, get up. And what happens? She gets up and comes to life again. And Jesus says, give her something to eat. She is a hungry and healthy 12-year-old who hasn't eaten for days. Give her something to eat. And can you imagine the reaction of astonishment? Who is this Jesus? He wakes dead people back to life again. Amazing. Only God can do that sort of thing. Jesus did this a couple other times that are recorded in our New Testament. There's the story of the only son of the widow of Nain, a meet in the town gate, and Jesus says, oh, young man, I say to you, get up, and he gets up. Jesus gives him back to his mum. And then the story of Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus who'd been dead for 4 days, and Jesus says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. The master over life and death speaks words of hope and resurrection to you and me. John 6, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus says to you and me, rise and shine. Rise and shine. That's why from the ancient times till now, Christians have always talked about physical death as sleep. Oh, it's just sleep from which Jesus will wake us. In 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, Paul refers to an oral tradition that he probably got when he was converted in about AD 35. It was already a fixed oral tradition. And he writes this, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. The word receive and passed on refer to a fixed oral tradition you don't mess around with, you pass it on word for word. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas. Who's that? Peter. Are you awake? And then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Why would Paul say that if it wasn't true? He says, look, AD 55 now, there's still a lot of those people in that 500 that are still alive. You can go and talk to them. They saw the risen Jesus. Later on in the same chapter, he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Fallen asleep, trusting Jesus. Friends, just as a parent wakes a child from sleep in the morning, Jesus has authority to wake us up from the sleep of death. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul seems to be referring to a baptism when he says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Why do we think that's a baptism thing? Because in the early church, they regarded as baptism as a dying and rising together with Christ. I might have told you this before. A candidate would come to be baptized. They would take off their soiled and dirty outer cloak. And then they would go down into the waters and to be baptized. And as they went under the water, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I don't know how many times they were dunked, but they went into the water. It was a sign that they were drowning or dying to their old selfish human nature. It had been crucified together with Christ. And as they came out of the water, it was like a resurrection. And people gave a white robe to put on as a sign that they'd been raised together with Christ. And they think that people might have actually sung this hymn. Wake up, O sleeper! Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. The command to wake up, I think it has two possible meanings intimately tied together. Wake up. You don't need to fear death anymore. You have been united with Jesus in his resurrection. Wake up. Wake up to the new life that you have in Christ. And the second wake up is to wake up. Don't go back to the ways of darkness, because now you are light in the Lord. Walk in his light. I think it's a good idea when you wake up in the morning to remember your identity in Christ. To remember who you are and whose you are. It can change the outlook to your whole day when you can remember, hey, I'm a loved and forgiven child of Father God. Oh, there's nothing more secure than that. To remember, hey, I've been delivered from darkness and brought into the light of Christ. And by the power of his Holy Spirit in and with me, today I will follow Jesus and share his love with all. Each day you wake up, you can go through that baptism thing again and say, hey, it's not me who lives, it's Christ who lives in me, because I've been united with him. Each day you wake up, you get to rise and shine. Amen. Since we are joined to Jesus, we are to actually walk and live in his light, not go back to the things of darkness, despair, dysfunction, or death. These days, whenever there is a scandal in the church, and this Royal Commission has revealed some of those, people are quick to say, oh, don't look at the church, look at Jesus. If the Apostle Paul were around today, he would say, hey, when you look at the church, that's where you should see Jesus, yes? That's where you should see Jesus. Paul urges us not to compromise with our surrounding culture. He writes, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days or the times are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Spiritual wisdom comes from understanding what the Lord's will is. In Ephesians, Paul writes a bit earlier, find out what pleases the Lord. Don't stay in darkness. Don't stay in ignorance. Find out. It's there for everybody. We can find out what sort of things please God. We can trust that He has His best interest, has our best interest at heart for flourishing. And we can ask the Spirit of God to help us live in it. God has brought us into His light. He has, in a sense, separated us from that old way of life for His own pleasure, for His own purposes. We take our marching orders from God's Word and God's Son, not our desires, not the opinions of other people, and certainly not from our prevailing culture. Spiritual wisdom means saying no to some stuff that messes with us. And Paul gives us one example. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Is that still true? Yeah, like today, the ancient world was no stranger to excessive drinking and the stuff that can lead to. What happens when you drink too much? Apart from getting sick, what happens? You lose your inhibitions, you lose your sense of dignity, you lose self-control. And when you are full of grog, you can give permission to your desires and fall to temptation. And just a few moments of that can destroy a marriage, can break up a family, can alienate good friends, can destroy reputations, and leave a whole wake of destruction. This Christmas, I wonder how many of us will drink too much, eat too much, spend too much, hurry too much, worry too much, simply because we get caught up in this crass, commercialistic, excessive culture that doesn't have a hope and a future and grabs hold of anything it can to fill the search and hunger and thirst for meaning within. Friends, I think God has something better for us. Now, we don't have to be like slaves in a dark galley of a sailing ship, rowing flat out, while the ship sinks. Huh? That's crazy. Why do we do it year after year? Why let the world squeeze us into its mould? Something better than booze, gluttony, and credit card debt. It's remembering our identity, our security, and destiny with Jesus. Friends, whenever we make space to be in God's presence, whether it's on our own or together here with others like we're doing today, it's where we remember. We remember that we are God's children of light. We remember that we are partners with God in His restoration plans for His world. Who wouldn't want to lose sight of that? That's our purpose. That's our meaning. That's our destiny. So Paul urges us to recenter in the God who claims us in baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen to those in these verses. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. That's what we do this morning, isn't it? Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul urges us to be worshipful, to be awake, to be sober, to make some space in our lives where we can let Jesus infuse us with His light. And when Jesus infuses us with His light, it brings a calm confidence and a settled sense of peace and joy that he has always got us covered, yes? And as we infuse in his light, then we have his light to share and shine into the lives of others. So my fellow saints, people through whom God shines, in the name of Jesus, I say to you, rise and shine. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would have time and make some space, not to be hurried, but to let you get into us through your word, through worship, by your spirit, in fellowship. Lord, that you would get into us and we would be the people through whom you shine Jesus to the world who needs you, so they too can rise and shine. Amen.